with me, if you would, please. God, we seek your face, your presence, your word, and your spirit in our lives today. Open our minds, open our hearts to all that you have for us. Soften us, make us pliable and movable for you, God. Help us to get things out of your word that we didn't know before that will impact our lives and thus impact those around us. In the name of Jesus, amen. So in the last couple of years here, we have Bible reading plans that we go through, and people join together and read through the Bible in a year. One thing that I noticed kind of different this not too long ago, and I thought, well, that's odd. I realized, as odd as it sounds, I realized that there was a lot of significant mentions of a door in the Bible. I first noticed it in the Old Testament, and then when I got to researching it, it was in the New Testament as well. Now I know what you're thinking, whoo, Pastor, you are reaching today. But it's pretty interesting. I want you to bear with me here on this. Bear with me. The Bible, the Old and the New Testament, is full of symbolism and typology. Okay? And so I begin to research, because I begin to see this and pretty significant uses of a door in a lot of the stories and events and even parables and teachings in the Bible. So I thought, I wonder if there is something to that. Because think about it. How many stories have you told in your life about your childhood or your work or whatever, and a door ever come into play? And I couldn't think of one. And so I thought, maybe there's something significant here. So bear with me and let's look at this. I want to read with you, and I think I put this in the notes, several mentions of door. This is just a partial list. Doors mentioned in the Bible. I can see on some of your faces like, whew. But watch. Bear with me. This is interesting, I think, anyway. I hope you do. God closed the door after Noah and his family went into the ark. Moses was in his door when God came to visit him and tell him about the promise of Isaac. Sarah was in her doorway when she laughed. Now, I'm not guessing here. These are instances specifically mentioned in the Bible about a door. The Passover, we all know, when the Passover happened in Egypt, they were about to be freed. The Israelites were about to be freed from Egypt, and they were to spread the blood of the sacrificed lamb on the doorposts. And then he said, no one is to go out of his door that night. When they got set up in the desert and they had the temple and everything, priests were washed and cleansed at the doorway of the tent of meeting. God told Aaron, the high and first priest. He was the high priest and the first priest. He wasn't a high first priest. So sorry. So he said, bring your sons here. They were also going to be priests. And bring your sons and wash them. And he washed them at the door of the tent of meeting. Bondservants, which were servants of a family that chose to stay with the family and serve them or work for them even after their debt has been paid off. Those were called bondservants. Bondservants would pierce their ear as a sign and a symbol of their loyalty to the family that they were going to serve. That happened at the doorpost. Imagine putting your ear, you ladies that have pierced ears. That's how you did it. The spike, doorpost. Anyway, make it real, folks. Perfect. All right. Let's see. Bulls were slaughtered at the door of the tent of meeting. As a matter of fact, burnt offerings and the altar and all of that was at the door of the tent of meeting. God and Moses assembled the congregation for the first time at the door of the temple of meeting. And later, when God would meet with Moses in the temple, every man of the household, the head of the household, would stand in his doorway of his tent or home until God was done meeting with Moses. The rebellion that Korah had against Moses and the other Israelites and God, that all happened at the door of the tent of meeting. The Lord came down as a pillar of cloud at the doorway. Oh, the commandments of God were to be written on the doorposts. Have you ever watched the show Chosen, the series Chosen? Anybody watch Chosen yet? Personally, I love it. But you'll notice the Jewish tradition is they kiss the doorpost. As they come through any door, they kiss the doorpost. You know, like that. That's because that's where the commandments of God were actually written, on the doorpost. Here's one I didn't know. When the Israelites got to the promised land, they were to divvy up all the land in between the 12 tribes. The division of that land happened at the doorway of the tent of meeting. Specifically mentions that. Samson, we know when he got his sight back and his strength back and he destroyed the city, and we all learned from the little felt boards in Sunday school that you know, he brought down the temple of the pagan gods in that city. And we all think that he destroyed the gates. The Bible actually says he destroyed the doors of the gates. And then that destroyed the gates. But he took a hold of the doors. Judges 16:3. Uriah slept at the door of the king's house. That's the guy that David did so cruelly and wrongly. And David called him in, and he didn't go back out. He didn't go into his wife. He slept at the door of the king's house. The doors of the temple and the rebuilt temple, both times in the Old Testament, the temple was built according to the doors. It was squared and measured by the doors. Okay, and if you'll read a lot of that very specific and particular measurements, there's a lot that goes into describing a door of the temple, even down to the decorations of the door and the hinges. The Bible says that heaven has doors, my lips has doors, hope has a door, faith has a door. Proverbs says wisdom calls through the doors of the city. Solomon's little sister is compared to a door that we will barricade with planks of cedar. Poor girl. Bless her heart, Solomon's little sister. People were called to worship at the doorway. Jesus says, shut the door to your prayer closet. The city gathered at the door to hear Jesus. Here's a good one. I didn't know this one either. You know the colt that Jesus rides on, and the triumphal entry into Jerusalem was tied at the door. Mark 11:4. The colt was tied at the door. Jesus compares himself to a door. Peter denied Christ at the door. Paul compares opportunity to a door several times. There are just simply too many random yet significant mentions of doors and doorways for it simply to be a term used for a placement or a piece of your home. Right? Don't you think? I think so. It seems that the door is used in the Bible as a symbol of a place of decision. Think about that. This is where we decide to let things in or to keep things out. at our door. Amen? You're in charge of your door. It's your life. And our lives are full of these doors, these places that we decide what or who to let in and what or who to keep out. Think about all of these instances that we've just talked about and how each one of them involved some type of decision. Here's an example in John 18. This is when Peter denied Christ. 16 through 17 says, Peter was standing at the door outside. So the other disciple who was known to the high priest went out and spoke to the doorkeeper and brought Peter in. Then the slave girl who kept the door said to Peter, now, this is where the decision takes place. Aren't you one of his disciples as well? And Peter immediately has this contrasting feelings and ideas. How do I answer? Am I just going to be honest and say, yeah? I mean, usually that's what he does. But this time, there's a little bit of self-preservation involved. His choice is at that time, I am not, he says. In Luke, Jesus uses a door as an analogy in three different places to his teachings. Luke 12, 35 and 36 says, be dressed in readiness and keep your lamps lit. Be like men who are waiting for he returns from the wedding feast, so that they may immediately open the door to him when he comes and knocks. Now, my first question is, why is the master knocking on his own door? I don't knock on my door when I get home. But more importantly, the question is, this is the place where a decision is made, and those people inside, those men that Jesus is talking about, is making a decision on how they will present themselves when they open the door to their master. Now, I want to direct you to the very first and the very last mentions of a door in the Bible. The first time that a door is mentioned in the Bible, Genesis 4, it's after Cain and Abel bring their sacrifice to God. The Bible says that God did not regard Cain's sacrifice. And apparently frustrated him. God said, why is your countenance so down? Then he says this in verse 7. This is God speaking to Cain. If you do well, will not your countenance be lifted up? If you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is for you, but you must master it. These three phrases I want you to think about real quick. Sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is for you. You must master it. So my first thought is, we can get so busy with life that we fail to realize sin is right there, right by our door. How might we change our day-to-day living if we knew sin was crouching at my front door? Now, what's very easy for some of us to, a little trap that some of us may fall into, it's very simple and easy and kind of natural, human nature, for us to look out the window at a distance. We see all this sin. It's terrible. It's eroding at the fabric of our nation. All the terrible sin, the impudence, the audacity, the unmitigated gall. (laughs) But it is. We like to look. We can look out our window. We can see all that going on out there and say, oh, that is terrible. Oh, my goodness sakes. What's going on out there? First off, Jesus says, I need for you to pray for those people. God says, I need for you to know that it's right there. This sin at your door is right there. Its desire is for you, and you must master that. Not that out there. You know what? Most of us probably not going to have a lot of problems and issues with the sin that we see happening at a distance, but it's easy for us to see. It's easy for us to judge. That's easy for us to get our attention to. That's exactly what Satan would love for us to do because he's right at our front door. Sin crouching at your front door. What's your sin look like? Yikes. Help me, Lord. Amen. Matthew 7:3, Jesus is teaching. He says this, why do you look at the speck that's in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? John, come here. Let me help you with it. You've got something in your eye. I can tell from here. What is it about that? Why does that seem so natural to us? We see all these, and we want to hear, Lord, what do I say next? Hang with me just for a second. It's easy for us to see the sin that is at a distance. It's not ours. It's easy for us to listen to a sermon about sin that's not ours. Now, I talk a lot about love. All right? It's the first word that we have, love, learn, grow, go. And I talk a lot about that. And I think it's important. Here's one of the reasons that I think it's important. If an alien was to come to Choctaw, Oklahoma, he's never been on Earth before, and he says, Paul, he says, listen, that's my first time here. I don't know anything about the laws or the culture or anything else. What's the rules? What do I do? The number one rule that we're going to say, well, law number one, this is the law that carries the biggest weight, the biggest discipline, the biggest punishment, right? What would you say? Probably, well, don't kill anybody, right? Number one rule, no murder. That holds the biggest penalty of all wrongdoings in this country that I'm aware of. Murder. Don't do it. They went to Jesus and said the same thing. They said, Jesus, what's the number one commandment? Uh-oh. You know what's coming, right? Have you ever compared the two? Could it be that if there were sizes of sins, and I'm not saying that there are because that's a whole other sermon, but if sin had sizes or importance or hierarchies along with the punishments that were given with it, somebody went to Jesus and said, what is the number one law? What's the number one commandment that we need to know about? And he says, love God, and number two, love each other. Perhaps the reason that I speak about love so often is because I don't want you to sin by not loving, because that's a doozy. Amen? It's my responsibility to share what I believe is the Word of God to you. I want to see every last one of you in heaven. And I'm held responsible if I don't share with you what I believe the Word of God is saying to us. Now, I don't spend a lot of time usually talking about sin, because if we can get the love thing down and we can love, we're going to cover a whole lot of sins. Matter of fact, I think that's in the Bible. Love covers a multitude of sins. That's sometimes, maybe that's the sin that's right there at your door that you need to look at. I need to look at the sin that's crouching at my door, and that might be a little bit different looking sin that's what's crouching at your door. God said, if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. A sin that desires you. He said, a sin you must master. Your door, your choice. But you know what? I have some really good news for you. You're going to like this. I want to mention two more mentions of doors in the Bible. The last two. The first one, they're both in Revelation. The first one is Revelation 3:20. Revelation 3:20. Highlight this verse, circle it, memorize it, write it 100 times on a piece of paper and bring it back to me next week. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. So my thought again. We can get so busy with life that we fail to realize Jesus is right there at our door. And he's knocking. And he's not only knocking, but he's calling. Because he says, you're going to hear my voice. Can you hear me? I'm knocking. I'm calling. He wants to come in and be with you, dine with you, do life with you, and we need to make that decision on a daily basis. Sometimes we feel like we make that decision one time, got it covered, okay, that's good, and the rest of our Christian lives, we have this keyhole relationship with our Savior. He's knocking, Jeff, you there? Oh, yeah, busy, I've got some stuff in the microwave. And we're talking to Jesus through this keyhole because we're busy. We got a lot going on. And he says, let me come in. Let's eat. Let's dine. Let's do life together. He's standing at the door, and he's calling, and he's knocking. The most important choice we can make is choosing to let Jesus in. Jesus actually references this verse again earlier in Matthew 24:33. And he's talking about how he's telling the disciples, you're going to know what season it is by the fig tree, by watching the weather and the growth of the fig tree. And he says this, so you too, when you see all these things, recognize that he is near right at the door. He says it again in Revelations. Many times in life, we find ourselves at a door, actually a place of decision, and this may happen several times a day sometimes. Are we so distracted with life? Are we so distracted by the distant sin that we see other people making? That we fail to realize that there may be sin crouching at my door. Maybe it looks different. We haven't that sin yet. Or maybe we fail to realize Jesus is standing at our door as well, knocking, calling to come in and dine with us personally. It's your door. It's your choice. What or who you're going to decide to allow in your house today and every day. Your door is in your hands. You get to control who gets in and who stays out. One more mention of a door. Thank you for that. Revelations 4:1. John writes, after these things I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I had heard, like the sound of a trumpet speaking with me, said, come up here, and I will show you what must take place after these things. My point is this. One of these glorious days, God is going to call all of his children home one way or another. Those that were faced with the decision and said, I choose to let Jesus in. No turning back. I follow Jesus. Those that invited Jesus in when he was heard knocking and calling at their door will go through that final door of heaven to spend eternity with our Father God and those who have gone before. Amen? Listen, we've had some dear friends go on to be with Jesus from our church just this year. Tom Banning and Louise Garvin. We had Glenn just this week. What's that? Donnie George. They're there already. They went through that door. We're going to have to decide to let Jesus in our door before we get to go through that final door. Amen. Will you stand with me today as I say, choose for yourselves today whom you will serve, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. If you're out there today and you feel like you are at a place of decision, of choice in your life, you're at a doorway maybe in your life. Maybe you've made the decision before, maybe not ever, but you feel like today I need to make a decision. I don't want you to be embarrassed, afraid, scared, nervous. I want you to come up here so I can pray with you through this decision. This is a doorway. This is a decision in your life. God is knocking. He's calling. Do you hear him? Do you hear him knocking? Do you feel it in your heart, in your soul? So you bow your heads and pray with me. Lord, move upon us. People that may need to make a decision for you. Come on up here to the front. Let me pray with you. We'll give you just a little bit. Anybody at all? I want to pray through with you. Hallelujah. Lord, we choose you today. If you're watching at home, online, choose God today. God, I believe in you. I believe you sent your only begotten Son to die for my sins, to pay for my sins so that I can have a relationship with you. And I apologize that I've been so sinful. Because God loves you and he wants to be with you forever. Let him in. Every single day. Our Father, we love you so much and give you all the praise and glory. We thank you and cannot thank you enough for your calling on our lives to be a part of our everyday. Thank you for knocking on our door and calling our names, letting us know that you're always there. Lord, help us to remember that so we can walk with you everywhere we go every day. We love you very much. In the name of Jesus.